den. Kirsten McMullen je učitelkou anglického jazyka a literatury a začala jí vyučovat po absolutoriu na skotských školách. Potom se zapsala na Glasgow University, kde studovala polonistiku a bohemistiku a v posledních letech vypracovala doktorskou práci o systému českého školství a jeho vztahu vůči jinakosti a vůbec vůči identitě, pojmu identity českého národa. Ta práce mně přijde velmi zajímavá a proto jsme ji pozvali do dnešního rozhovoru Britských listů. A přestože Kirsten McMullen hovoří česky, myslím si, že by bylo rozumnější tento rozhovor dnes vést v angličtině, takže od této chvíle, vážení televizní diváci, budeme mít titulky. Kirsten, what motivated you to actually start working on your PhD thesis?
It was partly inspired by my undergraduate dissertation, mm-hmm. which was about the integration of EU migrants into Scottish schools, mm-hmm. and I was curious about how that worked in other European countries, and because I had a lot of exposure to Czech culture at the time because of the courses at Glasgow Uni, then that was the direction I decided to go in.
And is Scotland very successful in integrating people from other cultures into their schools, briefly?
It very much depends on the school, I think. I think in terms of attitude, yes, they're very successful. I think there's a real willingness there for teachers to include everybody in their classes, regardless of their background. Teachers want to be able to do it, but they don't feel that the resources are there to support them in doing it.
So the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.
Yes.
Okay. Aha, okay. And okay, so you started to have a look with the basis of your experience from Scottish schools. You started to have a look at the Czech educational system. What did you do in your PhD?
I looked at different aspects of Czech education. So I spoke to people who had gone to school in the Czech Republic. I spoke to teachers who had worked in education, most of them since the mid-1980s, and were still working up until round about now, a couple had retired. And I also looked at textbooks that were being used for history and citizenship studies. And I also looked at the main policy documents that had been produced in the early 2000s, so the white paper.
Scotland and the Czech Republic are kind of smallish nations. Maybe Scotland is even smaller than the Czech Republic. It says 5 million people. The Czechs, there are 10.5 million of them, roughly. Smallish nations have problems with their identity. Would you agree? And if you were to compare Scotland, Scottish defensive nationalism to the Czech one, because I know that there's a kind of literature review in the PhD where you deal with this.
I think it's interesting, and I think there's a generation gap. And what is quite interesting to me, and sadly the PhD doesn't explore this that much, but people of my generation, so I'm in my mid-30s now, I think I had, if not an anti-nationalist upbringing, it was, and I know this is easy to say from like your point of view, but it was fairly neutral. We didn't have a great emphasis on national history, or anything like that, and I think that's kind of creeping in more and more. So there's a compulsory selection of texts that have to be studied in higher English from the Scottish canon, and these are things, the selection of texts is really poor. These are things that I kind of would dread teaching.
More nationalistic than quality, yeah?
Yeah. So.
But of course in Scotland there isn't the issue normally of language, although some parts of Scotland do speak Gaelic, but this is a minority language. But in the Czech Republic, the Czech Republic defines itself by language, doesn't it?
Yes, and I think that's maybe part of Scotland's identity problem. But what I kind of discovered through the PhD is Czech education does seem to be getting less nationalistic in an explicit way, but the attitudes don't seem to be changing. If you look at what's in the media, you know, if anything, the impression is that it's getting more and more nationalistic. The same thing seems to be happening in Scotland, but I think in Scotland it's more supported by the schools, whereas in the Czech Republic, I think there's something else going on, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, some Czechs might say being defensively nationalistic is very good because it defends our culture and otherwise our nation would perish and all that. What do you say to that?
What nation? I think that having such a strong affinity to something that is essentially accidental, one of the things that kept coming through in the interviews, especially with the older people that I interviewed, was this sense that...
In the Czech Republic.
Yeah, in the Czech Republic, was that people had a sense of a shared history that connected them.
That was a construct, wasn't it?
Yes, and I do think that that's constructed, and I think people... Okay, this sounds really judgmental of me, but I'm going to say it anyway. People need to have more of an identity than something that's kind of falsely imposed on, or not falsely imposed, but arbitrarily imposed. And I think people are generally quite uncritical of the national identity that's imposed or bestowed upon them, however you want to look at it. And they just kind of accept that they are part of a bigger group without really thinking about what that means.
So the Czech educational system doesn't lead people to critically assessing these issues of national identity, just inculcates them with certain notions and they then repeat it until they die?
Yes, in a way, but it's not that explicit. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is in the curriculum and people are told to learn these things, and there has been, you know, new policy documents produced since the ones that I analysed that are a bit more up to date again. But what I was interested in the PhD was where the attitudes are able to kind of slip through the net and still be powerful, even if they're not explicitly set out in the textbooks or the curriculum as something that people must learn, because these attitudes are so kind of...
You should give us some examples, elaborate. What I understand from what you're saying is that under the pressure of the need to join the European Union, the Czechs have accepted various politically correct documents, but they don't really believe in it. Can you give us some examples?
So, for example, in the white paper, there were specific ethnic groups that were outlined that had to be represented in the curriculum, and these were Germans, Jews, and Roma. These were the only ethnic groups that were singled out, which I think is quite interesting in itself, but the representations of them in the textbooks that I analysed, which were produced some years later, so I think the earliest was 2008.
So they should have been influenced by the white paper.
For sure. And there was representation, but it wasn't... it wasn't inclusive representation. It was what's been called like mentioning.
Concrete example.
Okay, so a concrete example is in, I think it's the grade 8 textbook, there's a 2-page spread on the contribution of Roma to Czech culture. So that's 2 pages in a textbook series that's 4 textbooks long and spans the entire education. I don't really consider that representation.
So that's a token only.
And there were examples within that representation where attention was drawn to issues of discrimination, but that was then reflected back onto Czech cultures. So when there was a question directed to the students about examples of discrimination that they saw in society, this was illustrated by a Viennese caricature of a Czech figure that was very sort of cartoonish and peasanty looking, and I sort of make the argument that that just deflects the position of victimhood back onto the Czechs and doesn't really force people to think critically about how their actions and their society impacts on any significant others.
So your findings would be that you are only accepted as a member of a minority in the Czech Republic if you accept the mainstream majority discourse?
Yes, And I think it's fair to say that you're accepted as a member of a minority and you're expected to stay, and that there wasn't really that much room for integration. There wasn't really any representation of non-Western cultures at all. And there was a lot of talk of, especially in citizenship textbooks, of our country and other people who were basically spoken of as guests.
Okay. So that the textbooks and the attitudes of the teachers acknowledge up to a point the existence of the other,
mm-hmm.
of other cultures,
mm-hmm.
but they're not ready and willing to actually integrate them.
No, and I think probably in an individual case-by-case basis, you know, if certain children turned up in their class and they had to deal with it, they probably would, and it would be fine. But the attitude that I got from the teacher certainly was that it just wasn't something that they were concerned about or something that they thought was important, because they didn't really have to confront it, because people, well, especially Roma, were very segregated, as were children with SEN.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one part of the issue. And the other one was just, it's not really part of a cultural narrative, that, and that is harmful to everybody to not see people from other cultures represented. It just reinforces this idea that Czech culture is Czech speaking and homogenous and does somehow have this shared history, which other people aren't part of.
Probably, as I'm saying again, many people in the Czech Republic will think that there's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that there's something wrong with it?
I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it, but I don't think it's something that should be accepted uncritically. And I think it could, having a sort of very strong attachment to your nationality. I've just been teaching Primo Levi to my year 12 class. You know, it's, if you take that to its logical conclusion, then it does end in the exclusion of others.
In concentration camps.
not necessarily in concentration camps, but yeah, I mean, that's
dehumanizes.
And I think,
and it's unfair.
It is unfair, but I don't think it's the dehumanization. It's just the lack of effort to humanize others and sort of acknowledge that actually the world is quite a diverse place, and we have to be increasingly accepting of that. So by all means, like, be tied to your culture, sing your folk songs, whatever, but don't base your politics on it.
I may be biased, but I kind of feel that if you are a sort of 6-year-old or 7-year-old and you are from a minority which the majority Czechs do not regard as legitimate,
mm-hmm.
that you experience undue pressure.
Yeah, and I think that's...
And this alienates you so that it actually deepens the divisions.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the problem with the lack of representation in textbooks, or the tokenistic representation, which I think is probably almost as problematic.
We are slowly nearing towards the end of this interview. If you were to summarize, what was the most shocking or the most important finding, and what are your recommendations?
Ooh. Difficult to pick one thing, but I think it would be probably the idea that having policy that weakly supports the idea of inclusion doesn't go far enough. I think in any society, people are going to be protectionistic of their own culture and their own ideas, and if you want to encourage a more inclusive approach, you probably have to legislate more strongly than the white paper did. I don't think you can really have concessions to nationalistic tendencies, because they will be exploited by the majority group, because they are the ones that hold the power. And I think minorities will be increasingly marginalized, and the problem will continue.
Thank you very much. Děkujeme vám za pozornost. Naschledanou.